Michigan Congressman Justin Amash recently became the first and so far only congressional Republican to call for President Trump's impeachment. Since then, his name has been floated as a potential presidential candidate next year, not in the Republican Party, though, but rather in the Libertarian one. With me to talk about that possibility and whether a Libertarian ticket can build on the party's 2016 electoral numbers is Nicholas Sarwark, chairman of the Libertarian National Committee. And Nicholas, how actively is the party trying to recruit Justin Amash to maybe be your party's presidential candidate next year?
There is an organized effort by party members. As party chair, I try and stay neutral in any nomination contest, but there's the most active effort to recruit a politician from outside the Libertarian Party since Ron Paul, when people were trying to get him to come back and seek our nomination again in 2008 and 2012. So I think there is definitely an active push to bring Amash in. He seemed increasingly isolated from the rest of the Freedom Caucus that came into Congress back around 2010, and was very refreshing to see that he actually had read the Mueller report and came to the same conclusions about impeachment that I did.
Is it problematic in any way that somebody who your party is recruiting to be your party's nominee isn't currently a member of the Libertarian Party?
It's problematic, and there's definitely a concern from some in the party that we should go with somebody who has been active and has a longer track record. However, the delegates in the past, in 2008 and in 2012, did select a nominee that was formerly a Republican politician. So it's not unprecedented, and I think there's a balancing act to that. You know, the Libertarian Party wants to grow bigger. We'd always like to bring liberty loving politicians into the fold, and not all of them get here as fast as they ought to. So I think that's going to be up to the delegates in Austin in May of 2020 to decide whether or not they think any kind of conversion is sincere enough and whether or not the whole package of the candidate is going to be a good nominee for the 2020 race.
Are there other groups or factions within the Libertarian Party that are looking at other potential candidates that you know of?
There are definitely. There's already about 10 party activists who have filed FEC paperwork and are seeking the nomination. One of them is a local activist here in Arizona. You have people trying to recruit Howard Schultz. There's a few people that think he would be a better fit for the
Starbucks
Libertarian
Party. Former Starbucks CEO.
Yeah, with his position on the national debt, which is something that a lot of people aren't talking about. And then there's been speculation about a lot of other figures. Some people like Tulsi Gabbard on the Democratic side because of her anti-war positions.
Do you think it's a realistic possibility that a current member of the Democratic Party could run for president as a Libertarian?
It's definitely a possibility. If you go back to the 2008 National Convention in Denver, we ended up nominating former Congressman Bob Barr, who is a former Republican. But former Senator Mike Gravel from Alaska, who is a former Democrat, is back to being a Democrat now, also sought the nomination in 2008.
I'm curious what you make of the fact that the Libertarian Party's vice presidential nominee from 3 years ago, William Weld, former Massachusetts governor, is now running for president as a Republican. You talked about how, you know, some candidates, if the conversion is sincere, the delegates need to hear about that. Bill Weld is now back to being a Republican running for president. What do you make of that?
You know, he called me the day before he announced to let me know, which I appreciated. His goal right now is to make sure that Donald Trump goes back to private life. And I think his assessment, based on the last five incumbent presidents who had primary challengers, none of them won the general election. So he sees this as the most salient thing he can do to try and bring back some sort of sensibility to the Republican Party that's a little bit missing. The other thing that a lot of people are not calculating fully is while the Republican Party has shrunk and become more hardly behind the president, in a lot of states, there are open primaries or primaries where it's very easy for somebody to choose a Republican ballot. And so for a lot of people who are opposed to the president, they are being presented the option by Bill Weld of getting to vote against him twice, once for his challenger in the Republican primary, and then a second time for either the Democrat or the Libertarian in the general election.
Do you think that he would have had maybe a better chance or been able to make more of an impact, maybe have had a louder voice, had he chosen to run for the Libertarian Party nomination as opposed to running in a primary against a president who's within the party still fairly popular?
You know, I think he would have had a longer campaign if he had stayed within the Libertarian Party and sought the nomination and been successful in getting it, which was not a sure thing by any stretch. But it would have been, I guess, less focused on his goal right now, which if your goal is to come and take a direct hit at the president and the president's policies, then the Republican primary is going to have more attention paid to that right now. The other issue is, you know, libertarians draw from the left and the right. So there's a clearer sense, I think, from his perspective of what he's doing right now. Whereas, as you saw in the 2016 general election, it was very obvious that Bill Weld would have preferred not to lose to the current president. And that's not how the votes broke down. It turned out that we ended up taking more votes from people whose second choice would have been the Democratic nominee.
How do you sort of reconcile that kind of statistic with the fact that there are a number of Republicans, as well as many, many Democrats, who would like to see the current president not be president anymore? I mean, is there a concern? I don't want to use the phrase spoiler, because I know people in politics hate the phrase spoiler, but is there a concern that a strong Libertarian ticket combined with whoever the Democratic nominee ends up being together maybe would be able to defeat the president, but individually split the vote?
There's always that kind of strategic concern, and I think that's going to be weighing probably front of mind for a lot of delegates at the 2020 convention in Austin. And I think there may be people who want to specifically choose a nominee that they think can work, I don't want to say in concert with, but towards that shared purpose of not having the president get a second term.
Gary Johnson did pretty well for a third-party candidate in 2016. He had, I think, almost 10% of the vote in his home state of New Mexico. I'm wondering what you think Libertarian candidates, specifically for president and vice president, what do they need to do you think, to try to increase their vote totals?
You know, I think the biggest thing, and it's something that the Johnson-Weld ticket did very well, as you can see from the numbers, and I think the way they did that was after the nomination was secured, they started talking about Libertarian ideas and Libertarian policies in a way that appealed to people who are not Libertarian yet. The middle of American politics is where success can be had. And so I think if our 2020 nominee has that same approach of talking to people about issues that they really care about, issues that are not being served by either of the two old parties, that we can see vote totals that will exceed the 2016 totals.
All right. That's Nicholas Sarwark, chairman of the Libertarian National Committee. Nicholas, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.